You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Thursday, February 12, 2026. Two birds, one stone. Efforts to plug orphaned oil and gas wells can help cut methane emissions too. Published by Jason Lindquist. The U.S. has been drilling for oil and natural gas for more than 160 years, and what to do with those wells once they are no longer productive has long been an issue, especially for those wells without a reliable party to manage their future reuse or plugging and abandonment. The issue has drawn additional attention in recent years because those orphaned wells can also be significant emitters of methane, a potent greenhouse gas, GHG. In today's RBN blog, we'll look at the number of orphaned oil and gas wells across the U.S., how they contribute to methane emissions, and discuss an approach that aims to address both issues simultaneously. There are nearly 120,000 documented orphaned and unplugged wells across 27 states, according to the U.S. Geological Survey, or USGS. To be included in the USGS total, a well generally needs to have no production for an average of 12 months, although that varies by state. The states with the most orphaned wells are Ohio and Pennsylvania, with more than 16,000 each, followed by Oklahoma, Kentucky, and Illinois, with at least 8,000, with several other states close behind. We should note that there are thought to be many more undocumented wells, with the Interstate Oil and Gas Compact Commission, or IOGCEP, putting that number at anywhere from 310,000 to 800,000, a result of poor record-keeping and insufficient policy and/or enforcement over several decades. Since orphaned wells can have a number of financial and environmental consequences, efforts have been made at the federal and state levels to address the issue. The Infrastructure, Investment and Jobs Act, or IIJA, which was signed into law in 2021, provided $4.7 billion for states, tribes, and landowners to plug, remediate and reclaim orphaned oil and gas wells. The Department of the Interior's online dashboard shows that more than 10,500 orphaned wells were plugged through the program, the vast majority of them oil and gas wells, 8,771, with a much smaller number of injection wells and disposal wells also plugged. While that is not an insignificant reduction, it's just a fraction of the overall total of orphaned wells. Most oil and gas producing states also have their own programs to plug orphaned wells. 26 states applied for funding under the IIJA's well plugging program. How does a well end up as an orphan? As noted above, record keeping about wells was often incomplete or inconsistent in past decades, particularly compared to today's standards, making it easier for some operators, especially smaller ones, to walk away from a well once it was no longer profitable, even though there are state and federal rules in place designed to prevent that from happening. For example, most states require an operator to put up a bond intended to cover costs if that operator goes away. Depending on the state, that bond value may be insufficient to complete the plugging operations on that one well, often leaving states under-resourced. Orphaned wells can lead to a number of financial and environmental issues. On the economic side, they can be expensive to plug, often at the public's expense, decrease land values and productive acreage, and create significant long-term liabilities. On the environmental side, orphaned wells can leak methane and volatile organic compounds, contaminate groundwater, and require extensive restoration efforts, with potential short and long-term consequences. Efforts to reduce methane emissions have been a particular focus in recent years. See our Cover Me series. Carbon dioxide, or CO2, has often been the primary focus of the emissions debate, but methane is a particularly powerful GHG, with a global warming potential, or GWP, that is 25 to 36 times that of CO2 when normalized to a 100-year timeline, and more than 80 times that of CO2 if normalized to a 20-year timeline, since it degrades more quickly than CO2 in the atmosphere, making it an obvious target in efforts to reduce the impacts of GHG emissions, especially in the near term. Those efforts have left producers looking for ways to mitigate methane emissions during gas production and transportation. See It Don't Come Easy in Paradise, giving rise to the market for certified natural gas. See A Whole New World. But while most efforts to mitigate methane emissions have focused on producing wells, there's a lot more that could be done, as companies like Rebellion Energy Solutions demonstrate, one of a handful that focus on orphaned wells. As we just noted, there are nearly 120,000 documented orphaned wells in the U.S. Most of them do not leak methane, although they may in the future. While identifying and testing orphaned wells requires a lot of fieldwork, the wells most likely to leak generally share some common denominators. A well that produced natural gas during its lifetime is more likely to leak methane. Number 1. The deeper a well is, the more energy it is likely to have held behind surface equipment. Deeper wells are also more expensive to maintain, which means they may be less likely to have received proper care and maintenance during their producing life. Number 2. The older a well is, the more apt it is to leak. Some wells can produce at low levels for decades before they are abandoned, which means some were drilled and completed using older techniques and technology. Number 3. A well that had been operated by a smaller operator may be more likely to leak, as a well operated by a known entity is more likely to have been better maintained over its productive life. A well plugging strategy starts with identifying and locating orphaned wells that would be good candidates for plugging. Sites are selected by targeting the highest emitting, highest risk orphaned wells where methane abatement would generate the most carbon credits while also considering landowner impacts and operational feasibility. Following that, a landowner and/or community is approached for permission to visit a well site to evaluate methane and other emissions, after which a comprehensive plugging and restoration plan may be initiated. Before a well is plugged, it must undergo a measurement process to quantify the amount of methane leaking into the atmosphere. Multiple tests lasting several hours are often necessary to get the proper data. Next up is plugging and restoration, but there are some key differences with the typical plugging process, where the rules can vary significantly from one state to another. For example, 24 state agencies have well plugging rules that require cement to be placed above the producing zones, and 23 specify where plugs should be located, while only 8 specify how strong cement plugs should be, and just 5 mandate that the wellbore must be essentially static after plugging. There is no one-size-fits-all approach to well plugging. It's important to note that the goal of Rebellion and other companies doing similar work, such as Zephyro Methane Corporation and Tradewater, is not just to plug an orphaned well and stop methane leaks, but to do it in a verifiable way that enables carbon credits to be sold on the voluntary market. That requires a process that is a lot more robust than typical well plugging, where the focus is often on protecting underground sources of drinking water, or USDW. Rebellion's approach starts with quality control measures like batch mixing the cement at the surface, which allows for sampling and quality checks before plugging begins. The plugging process itself includes blocking all potential migration pathways, an emphasis on formation-to-formation barriers and multiple cement envelopes beyond those minimum locations, with the overall goal of producing a 1,000-year seal. Land restoration work is done at this step in the process. Those efforts can include restoring spoiled ecosystems and regenerative agriculture, which allows the land to be used for cattle or other grazing later. Once the plugging is done, the next step is verification. As noted above, an orphaned well's methane emissions are extensively measured before any plugging work begins. The goal is to determine how much methane would leak over a 20-year period. This step requires oil and gas expertise, this time on the reservoir engineering side. Post-plugging measurements confirm that emissions have dropped to near zero, demonstrating that the future emissions that would have occurred have been effectively prevented. Once the emissions data is compiled and documented, a third-party validation and verification body performs a review to ensure it meets the ACR's methodology requirements. The ACR is a carbon crediting program that operates in the global compliance and voluntary carbon markets. A completed project is only approved for carbon credit issuance after the review confirms that the abated emissions are real, measurable, and permanent. After validation and verification, the ACR issues carbon credits that correspond to the verified reduction in methane emissions, in Colorado two equivalent terms. The ownership of these credits is due to an industry-specific land and legal program that ensures all rights, title, and interest are addressed. The credits are then tradable or sellable in regulated or voluntary carbon markets. As we noted in our A Matter of Trust series, there has been a certain amount of skepticism around the voluntary carbon market in recent years, and whether the claimed reductions in GHG emissions and the credits generated by them are real and verifiable, especially those tied to initiatives like forest preservation and energy efficiency. Plugging orphaned wells addresses those concerns by verifying the emissions beforehand and monitoring them after the work is done. To ensure the integrity of the sealed wells, Rebellion has policies in place to buffer against credit reversal and continually monitor the plugged well to ensure its integrity. Orphaned wells may be a legacy problem, but they are also an opportunity for methane abatement coupled with nature-based co-benefits, including regenerative agriculture. By zeroing in on the leakiest, highest-risk wells and using a process backed up by rigorous measurement and verification, long-ignored liabilities can be turned into marketable carbon credits. That won't solve every issue tied to aging well inventories, but it's one with potential that the oil and gas industry is well poised to address. Two Birds, One Stone was written by Drake, Kanye West, Noah Shabib, and Joey Castellini. It was released as a single in October 2016 as a promotional/teaser single for Drake's fifth mixtape, More Life, which was released in March 2017. The song went to number 31 on the Billboard Hot R&B/Hip-Hop Songs and number 73 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles Charts. Written in the wake of Drake's highly publicized feud with Meek Mill, the song clearly disses Kid Cudi and Pusha T. While Drake and Kanye West were touring during 2016, Kid Cudi was in the midst of breaking away from West's record label and criticized both West and Drake on his Twitter account. Two Birds, One Stone samples Cudi's song Weldon 'Cause I'm Young, further fueling the diss factor from Drake to Cudi. Personnel on the record were Drake, vocals, Kanye West, 40, production, sampling. Drake, Aubrey Drake Graham, is a Canadian rapper, singer and actor. He got his start starring as Jimmy Brooks in the CTV teen drama series Degrassi, The Next Generation. Drake released his first mixtape, Room for Improvement, in 2006, and has been credited for helping to popularize R&B vocal stylings within hip-hop music. He has released 8 studio albums, 5 EPs, 3 compilation albums, 7 mixtapes, and 189 singles. He has sold over 170 million records worldwide. The Recording Industry Association of America ranks him as the top-selling digital artist of all time. With over 300 million digital downloads in the US, Drake has appeared in 12 motion pictures and 23 television shows. In 2022, Universal Music Group announced that Drake had resigned with the company in a deal rumored to be valued as high as $400 million. He continues to record and tour. His next album, Iceman, is scheduled to be released later this year. He will be playing select dates in the UK in July and August.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.